Wonderful, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing out there? I'm Eli Martyr, and we are back with another fantastic interview. We've got Mr. Genesis Sunfire here on the horn with us today. Last time, we had a great conversation. We went into all the stuff that is important to know about the current contemporary Breatharian movement, okay? So that was the purpose. We tried to flesh out some better understanding with regards to Breatharianism. So I'm so happy to have Genesis Sunfire back here today, because we're going to be expanding on what we talked about last time, and it's going to be great. So Mr. Sunfire, thank you so much, man. I'm happy that you're
Hello.
Here.
Hello, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Are you kidding me? Anytime you want. You're always welcome.
Hey, I'm gonna take you up on that.
Absolutely. Because you're a wealth of knowledge. You're a wealth of experience. You've got the best of both worlds there, brother. And so the world needs to hear what you got to say. And so you've always got a platform here. So thank you.
I'll take that.
100%. 100%. So.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for saying that.
Oh, come on. No, of course. Just speaking the truth. And so let's catch everybody up. And I'm not going to get into everything that we talked about. So if you have not seen the first interview that we did, I highly suggest going back and watching that, because what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be expanding on what we talked about last time. So make sure to go catch yourself up, watch the first interview that I did with Mr. Genesis Sunfire. But just as a quick recap, okay, if you have seen that one, then what we talked about last time is we started off with the recognition that Breatharians, the current Breatharian movement, seems to be obsessed. And maybe if obsessed is the wrong word, I don't know, whatever, sue me. But they seem to be really...
No, that's the right word.
That's the right word. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you definitely the right word. In fact, that's an understatement.
So they seem to be obsessed with the concept of Breatharianism and not the reality. So whatever the reality of Breatharianism is, that their bodies tell them, that their minds tell them, they are not paying attention to that, and they are obsessed with this a new agey, head in the clouds type of version of what Breatharianism is idealized to be. So we talked about that, okay? Then we got into the problem of labels and categories. And the second that human beings, for some reason, when they get a rigid category or a label stuck in their heads that pertains to either themselves or a group, then drifting outside of those strict labels causes them a lot of consternation. And so we talked about how categories limit the ability to think and reason and to be impulsive with signals that come from either your body or your mind, right? So we talked about how categories limit you. So those are the main. Oh, and also we also started to redefine kind of what Breatharianism was, and we fashioned it as. And I'm not saying we fashioned it. I mean we're just trying to.
Yes, we did.
Reality,
We did fashion it.
Yeah. And
definitely
based off of the reality, right? Because the reality gives us information, it gives us input. So we were just taking that and describing the reality of what Breatharianism means, and not taking just a concept in our head and trying to jam the reality into that concept, right?
Exactly, because that's what's going on already.
Yes, yes.
Is the definitions have been stretched to fit the people that want to tell a story, that want to show, that want to create a concept.
Yes.
Because it cannot be done the way it's described. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
It absolutely cannot be done the way it's described. And that's why it's a concept.
Right.
And not a reality. That's right. Why it's not a reality. That's why it's never taken form and mm-hmm. people... Egyptians aren't alive today because they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That was always one of my things about immortality, because that was one of the things that was getting shoved down my throat. Immortality, right?
Yeah.
I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, there's no Egyptians to actually tell the truth of what happens. What is it? What did they eat, what did they take, how life really was, you know what I mean? It's all these women and these guys that claim to be high priest, Egyptian high priestesses in a former life, you know, wearing all kinds of different cultures, clothing, loincloths, shawls, all kinds of mixed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah. And most of them are mentally unstable. Let's just face that, right? Most of these are mentally unstable.
Push the energy out the hand. Big breath. More power, yeah. More passion, more power. Big. Look into the hands. Good. Yes, Magnus. Good. Good.
Yeah.
And that's how they kind of drift into the Breatharian movement.
Yeah.
Because of that. It fits their psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what it's drifted into. And that's what I feel we've got a great opportunity to kind of rescue aspects of it, because aspects of it are actually the truth.
Yeah.
But it's just drifted, man. It's gone out of control.
Gotcha.
So yeah, we have kind of, and I think we have an opportunity, like I said, to really save this thing.
Okay.
To save this little section, to save this little aspect of the truth. Because I think we're kind of guardians of it. All right. So yeah, it's going to be a bit of a mission.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel.
Love it. Yeah. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah. So I feel we did.
Yeah.
I feel with that first interview, so much was done, and it's up to the people to sense it. It's up to the people that know to gravitate to it and to get a sense of it. And because they will know. They will know it's the absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
They will know intuitively, because it will just resonate so powerfully for them.
Yeah.
So I think that was very well done in the last interview, and I just felt so strongly that there needed to be a continuation. You know?
Yeah, you felt that pull of obligation to just flesh that out, you know, a bit more for people.
Because, yeah, for sure.
It's important.
Sure.
It's important, and I love it. I love that we can be a part of that work, because man, you know, humanity needs some help, and so. So you know, it's just to catch you guys up, and then what let's expand on this is that we kind of put Breatharianism as a tool, kind of like I said, it's a tool to be used for whatever your particular moment in the path is. So you jump between either restrictive eating, either fruitarianism or liquidarianism or Breatharianism. And we use those tools to adjust to each particular stage of our higher spiritual development and conscious evolution development. And so that's pretty much where we left it. So now what we can do is we're going to try to work together here and find a way to even more precisely define what Breatharianism actually means. Because as of right now, it's just not working, right? People are getting hurt.
Right.
People are getting hurt.
Yeah.
This I just finished speaking to a couple of people about this, and who've been hurt by this understanding, by this idealism, the ideal of Breatharianism. And so,
man, listen, I've seen so many heartbroken people,
heartbroken,
like emotionally hurt, just heartbroken, because it's like, they try to do it so much, and they invest everything they have mentally and physically and emotionally, and it just they're just beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's no real help from these gurus. It's just disgusting. It really is disgusting. Listen, right? I'll tell you something about one of these gurus. He's the darling of the Breatharian movement right now. He's this all-seeing guru right now, right? Everyone loves him. Right, because he plays the part. He really does play the part. He enjoys playing the part as well. But what I want to share with you is that I caught an interview of him. I never watch other Breatharians' interviews because I just think they're so full of shit. It's unbelievable. Mm. Sorry, they're so full of crap. It's unbelievable, right?
It's all good, yeah.
So I thought something just drew me to, and I said, right, you know what? Let me just do it. So I was just skipping through because it was mega crap. It wasn't just crap. It was mega crap, right? It was all a baloney, right? So anyway, it came down to Sting, an interviewer, yeah. Right? It was an Indian. It was somehow an Indian channel because somehow he's grabbed onto this Indian network, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, an Indian woman was talking and she was really talking ahead of him. She was really talking for him because there was obviously an agenda. So this woman, she was like pushing an agenda because she was talking ahead of him and she was like putting words in his mouth and about how great he was and how what he was doing was so powerful for the world and all this stuff. And then she kind of came to the point where she asked him, so you've been food free for 19 years.
Okay, yeah.
That's what drew me to it. She was like, what?
Yeah.
And so you've been food free for 19 years.
Yeah.
And his answer, I was expecting a different answer, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
His answer was, well, I've been doing this for 19 years.
Okay.
But I've actually been food free for 2.
Okay. That's a big jump. Yeah. That's
and I thought, asshole. You know what I mean? You straight up scamming mother, you know what I mean? Because it's like, come on, look at how you're fooling the people and you're allowing these social media networks to really mislead the people, you know, because the title was 19 years food free, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I recognized when I was doing it.
Yeah.
And it's generally when I always had some kind of discomfort with asking questions about how long I've been doing it for.
Mm.
I don't know why. It was just something I always did, right?
Yeah.
But one thing I learned was there's a kind of language that you adopt. And I remember from my last years as a breatharian, when I wasn't really breatharian, but I was trying to get back in for health reasons or to try again or to whatever, because I was just mixed up in my path. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. So it's like if you spend, just for example, 7 years as eating no food whatsoever and you have a chewing gum and you spit it out 5 seconds later, are you still a breatharian?
Right.
For 7 years, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's that whole thing. So what you tend to do is you tend to adopt a language and you say things like, oh yeah, I've been doing this for 7 years, or I've been in the game for 7 years.
Mm.
So you're kind of lying by omission.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're kind of lying by omission. And that's something I really didn't want to get into because I saw that was a real slippery slope. And that's how it's being done. So people out there need to really be cautious and mindful of the language that's used. I know another guy that was Israeli, because being this guy that I used to be doing this thing, I used to get all the inside scoops. All the inside scoops. I knew about everybody. I knew what everybody was doing, right?
Mm.
Now, this guy, his big thing was, he was televised like Jasmine, but he passed.
He passed he away?
Not passed away, sorry. He passed a test.
Oh, okay.
He was monitored for like a week or maybe more than that, or maybe 8 days or some stupid stuff like that, right? By an Italian channel or something like that, right? But it turns out, right? So you think, he actually passed the test. So I'm going to go follow him and I'm going to follow all his teachings. But the problem is, what they don't tell you is that the Italian TV channel was in cahoots with this guy.
Mm.
And apparently, when you learn the inside scoop, apparently he passed out.
Oh.
He passed out during the whole thing.
Oh, really?
Right? So he wasn't in good shape.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing. And it's like the whole Jasmine Heen thing. If you've really been doing it as you say you are, you wouldn't even be detoxing.
Yeah.
How is it that all these people seem to be detoxing the moment they get into the public eye?
Right.
It's because they haven't been doing it. You know as well as I do, Eli, when you're fasting, you can just fast, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're a regular faster, you don't all of a sudden detox when someone's watching you, you know?
I agree. Yeah.
If you're a regular faster, it's just business as usual, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So that's the way it should have been. Mm. But it's not like that.
Mm.
So that's the whole thing, that people need to be really careful with the whole breatharian thing, mm-hmm. Because it is by nature false. Yeah. I always used to say there's no such thing as breatharianism as it's defined, which is you breathe, right? No. You breathe for a living, right? Because I used to say, well, you're swallowing saliva every few seconds. So technically, you're not just living off breath. Yeah. You're actually creating liquid.
Yes.
So by real definition, you're liquidarian.
Right. Yeah.
It just so happens that liquid is saliva.
Right.
So this is when you really look at definitions, this is what you've really got to start looking at. Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing about, oh, I've been food free for 20 years. Fuck that. That is just BS, man. That is just such BS. And mm-hmm. people just really need to show a bit more savvy when it comes to stuff like that. It's really interesting and it sparks a curiosity, but still, you've got to be really savvy and really pay attention to the person's language.
Mm-hmm.
Because this guy's been doing it pretty much the same amount of time that I've been doing it. But mm-hmm. I was doing it, sorry. Right? And to me, that's more acceptable. A couple of years. Because you know what, Eli? And I hope I don't offend anybody that's really into this thing.
Sure. No, it's all right.
But it's because the information was not available when we were doing it, when I was doing it, right? These breatharians, do you really know what they're doing? They're relying on ketosis and they're relying on fat adaptation.
On fat adaptation.
Fat adaptation,
okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Which means that it goes alongside with getting to ketosis, all right? So you switch from using carbs to your fat resources.
Yeah.
Right? So in extreme situations, like just for example, I turned breatharian from being fruitarian, right? I've got, and this will take you back to the story I told you about climbing those mountains in the first interview, right? Mm-hmm. When you're fruitarian and you go and you cut to being a breatharian, you've got X amount of resources, X amount of carbs stored in you, in all kinds of places. Now, when you get an extreme situation where you go, boom, breatharian, cold turkey, right? Your body's going to try and hit those carb stores straight away, without even thinking about it. That's business as usual, right? And then it's going to get a point to where you've run out of that. You've used it all up and you've run out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to get into a situation where you're going to get into ketosis because you're going to switch over from the carbs over to using fat. But that's another system, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to adapt to being able to use that fat because a lot of people get into ketosis, but they're not adapted to actually using the fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So there's always a kind of there's always a kind of an underlying fat burning thing going on. Mm-hmm. But the real pay dirt is when you become fat adapted. And you actually can use the fat properly,
yeah.
Right? Well, you can actually use the fat properly. And you can go on for a long time just using up your stores,
right?
And that's what I feel a lot of these breatharians and a lot of these spiritual people, they get into that, but they don't know what they're doing. So they just think, oh, my body's tapped into this spiritual source and I can just flow forever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, they just become fat adapted for a certain period of time. And it might be 2 years. It might be, you know, because your metabolism will slow down and you'll use it at a better rate or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think a lot of these guys are doing. And they because everything's so spiritualized, they don't know what they're really technically doing. They mm-hmm. just feel, oh, I've tapped into the ether.
Yeah.
And I can now flow and just have energy, endless energy. And they listen to all these stories and they tap into that rather than, okay, what's actually happened? Because nobody knew about ketosis in my day.
Right.
Absolutely nobody knew about ketosis or fat adaptation, whatever that was in my day.
Right.
So it's like, for us, that was the obvious route to go. Oh, it must be something spiritual because this isn't possible. Wow. Because Eli, and you'll know this, everybody was banged against fruitarianism. You must remember the times when they used to say, oh, you can't last 7 days on fruits because you'll die.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. To do this, to not eat and all of a sudden be doing 3, 4, 5 days, not eating at all.
Yeah.
Man, people went straight to, oh, it's the hand of God. That's it's Mary Magdalena.
That's right.
All the women were walking around with their hands up in the air, doing the peace sign, talking about, yeah, I'm Mary Magdalena now because I can go 7 days without food.
Yeah.
But they were doing it.
Yes. Yes.
But it was because they were getting, technically, they were getting fat adapted.
Right.
They were using their fat stores. And again, that takes time to use up your fat stores because there's fat everywhere. And again, these guys were detoxing because there's toxins in your fat cells. So stuff was coming out there. So it was like another cycle of fruitarianism. So people weren't 100% stable doing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you get people like these guys that say, oh, I'm in the game for 19 years, 20 years. But that's all they did because really they've... And the guy said, right, then you probably know who it is already. The guy said, oh, yeah, but I've been having juice and I've been having this and I've been having that in that 19 years. But it's just been the last couple of years that I've actually been food free.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that tells me straight away, right, you're just digging into your fat store. And you are only going to be able to do that for a certain amount of time, just like I did.
Right.
And that's how I couldn't do those mountains the way I would normally have done them. I had to do it at a much slower rate because I had no fat stores. Mm. I had no carbs. I had nothing because I was actually doing it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you, I actually, on the second one that I took a bunch of fruitarians on this climbing their mountains, I actually had struggled so much. I actually took some grape juice, some fruits, just to see. Just for my own desperation, because they were like, come on, man, come on, hurry up. Because there were like storm clouds coming over and stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the guys don't know nothing about being breatharian or being fruitarian or having to go slower or whatever. They just see you as a failure. They just go, come on, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? All they know about is the granola bars, the energy bars, and this, that. You should be doing, you know what I mean? Yeah. All that crap. And they look at you as like the scum of the earth.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, I'm doing this thing and I'm just getting so desperate. And I just started. We're on the first mountain. So I'm having to take, and the weather's atrocious. So I'm having to take grape juice and fruits just to see if I can speed up. But I was so depleted of resources. I would have had to have probably taken a whole supermarket's worth of fruit, man.
Oh, my God.
Just to even get close to recharging myself properly, you know, because I was so depleted. And this is what people just don't understand. It's like you do this whole breatharian thing, you get into ketosis, you get into the whole fat, because not everyone's fat adapted, so you have to get fat adapted. That takes months to a year, right, to get that going to where you can just effortlessly blah, 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 right? So that's what these guys are doing, in my belief.
Yeah.
That's what these guys are doing, but they're spiritualizing it.
But they're, this is so interesting, and this is so key because it seems to echo exactly the same thing that's happened in human history ever since we came onto the planet. It's always when we had a lack of understanding about the laws that govern the reality of vitality. And then where there is that lack of understanding, the explanation is made up by some sort of human concept, because we seem to be embarrassed by something that we don't understand or that we're not able to explain. So we come up with something that satisfies that gap in our knowledge. And I do think I know who you're talking about. And what's interesting is because when I think everybody knows. And I saw that same segment and I couldn't at the time, this is a long time ago, I couldn't help but wonder, I'm like, all right, so why was there a need for such preparation for this week if that's what we've been doing every single day for the past whatever how long? That always confused me. Why the need for intricate preparation? I thought, but like, aren't we here to prove that this is how you live, right? So
that's business as usual.
Business as usual. So that stuck out at me as weird. What else stuck out at me as weird was the amount of weakness and whatnot near the end of the week. I'm like, but if that's the case now, then, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that it's misleading to tell people that this is what you do every day, right?
Exactly.
Quite misleading. Exactly. So obviously, we're just underestimating our body's innate ability to deal with periods or longer periods of no food. It's just, we're just underestimating how good God created us or whatever the nature created us to be, but it's not necessarily what we imagine. So I thought that was odd. Okay? I thought that was very odd about this guy. And the last thing that I thought odd, something that just jumped out at me is like, huh? I remember watching an interview and he was talking about how, you know, with breatharianism, it's not that you need to never eat. It's you just choose.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah. Yeah,
you can just
experience
that you can either drink or eat. And then he mentioned, like, you know, if like when you want that pizza, you know, when you really just want that pizza, you can have it. And I thought that was odd. I'm like, oh, that's strange, because I, in my life, was at a point where I had just completely even transitioned away from even that being an
thought,
you know, and that, in my experience. And I thought, hold on a second. If I were to achieve that breatharian state, I can't imagine that the thought of eating would conjure up a desire for heat. Like, I would be like, okay, if I'm going to eat, it's going to be something amazing, like a jackfruit or a fruit of some sort, or a salad, like a veggie meal of some sort. Like, if I was cheating, that's the material I would cheat on. So I found it very strange that was the material that a breatharian would default to when he wants a break from breatharianism.
Right.
So it was those things that kind of raised up these red, I don't want to say red flags, but I mean, it was odd.
They're red flags. Red flags, because you're encouraging people to not eat. That is dangerous. It's not as if you're encouraging people to go fruitarian, then liquidarian,
you know,
5 years fruitarian, 5 years liquidarian, and then fasting your ass off, right? Yeah. And if you're going to do the whole breatharian thing, okay, breatharian, right?
Right.
You're not doing that. These guys are saying, right, go straight to breatharian because I said so and because I'm wearing a turban and I'm walking very slow, right? So that gives me all the validation in the world to tell you to skip all that stuff and just go straight to not eating anything ever again, right? To you assuming that I mean never to eat anything again, but behind closed doors, I'm going to eat whenever I feel like it.
Yes.
Whenever grandma comes around, I'm going to take some rice and peas. I'm going to take some, you know what I mean? Mother's good old sweet home cooking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm going to let you assume that what I mean is you're never going to eat anything again. Mm-hmm. Do you realize the fear that strikes in people? Man, I remember nearly getting into fist fights over just hinting about just not eating cooked food again and eating fruits for the rest of your life. Yeah. These natives out here would damn near string me up. You know what I mean? Just for hinting about that, right? So this is the issue that is kind of at play here, you know? This whole 19 years food free crap, right?
Yeah.
Why do that and then say, oh, but yeah, if you really want that pizza, you can just experience the experience of having it, and it's just an experience. You're not really eating it to eat because you want it or you're hungry or you're starving.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an experience.
Yeah.
I just want to feel the experience.
Yes.
What bull crap?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're eating it. When grandma comes around, you're eating. You're eating her food. You're eating what she brings around. Oh, I just eat socially. You're eating. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There really is nothing wrong with that.
That's
just don't tell people, just yeah. don't insinuate that they're supposed to not eat ever again because, and if you do, you're not spiritual.
Yeah.
Right? If you do, you fail. If yeah. you do, you're a fake. If you do, you're a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually okay to backstep. It's actually okay if you, as long as you are safe, emotionally stable, and you're keeping yourself on track, and you just get back in, it's fine. My experience has been built on failure. Every bit of it has been built on failure. So I've got no problem with people backstepping, backsliding, whatever, taking months off to recover. I've got no problem because sometimes that's what's needed because it's a long-term picture, you know? And Eli,
mm-hmm.
going back to what you said about something that you didn't feel right about. This goes back to the interview we did the last time, right? When I said to you, again, going back to this question, how long have you been doing this? What do people want to hear, Eli?
Yeah, 20 years, 30 years.
They want to hear 20 years. Yeah. They don't want to hear 2 days. They don't want to hear 1.5 days. They don't want to hear 1.5 days and 22 seconds. You know what I mean? What's going to give this person the most notoriety? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
One and a half days, 10 minutes and 33 seconds ain't going to give nobody no 20 years.
Yeah. No TV spots coming your way at one day. You know?
No tests. No monitoring, no, none of that, none of that, right? It's 20 years. That's what's going to get you. That's what's going to get you in the national newspapers.
Yes.
That's what's going to get you in the as you said, the TV channels banging your door down to monitor you, the news,
yeah.
all that stuff. That's what's going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One day, 1.5 days, 33 minutes and 10 seconds ain't gonna cut it.
Yes.
Nobody wants to know you.
Yes.
Right. So, and I know this person. I knew him, and I had a conversation with him. And I'm not going to go into it, but it was a vile conversation. It started off cool because this guy's always been cool with me. But all of a sudden, this conversation, he was off, and he was acting like he was competing with me. And the worst thing for him was that I was in my last year, so I didn't give a flying fuck. Right? I didn't care. I didn't give a damn. So he was doing this and just wasting his own time. I was like, yeah, take it. Take the crown. I'm done with it. You know what I mean? He didn't know that, but he was fighting talk, man. And
yeah.
he the way he spoke about his supporters, he compared them to dogs.
Mm.
I love dogs, man. So it wasn't an insult, but I could see where he was coming from. And I thought, this is so not him.
Mm.
This is so not him. And this is so not the whole spiritual vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it just made me like, you know what, it just kind of cemented my reason to just get out of this stuff, you know what I mean, just get out of this crap.
Yeah, one important thing that you mentioned, it's so important, because you said that it's okay if when you're eating very, very infrequently, that is a very, very high level of refinement. That indicates
yeah.
a very, very profound level of not only reform of the body, but reform of the mind. It indicates those. And that is something to be celebrated. So I, you know, if this person, whoever, you know, I'm just a hypothetical person, okay, has worked themselves up to where they need, what, one meal a week? You know, one day of drinking a week? 2 days
major.
A week? 3 days of drinking or eating a week, like 3 days out of the week where you're just, And that is comfortable. And your body has achieved stability at that level. That is an incredibly spiritually uplifting thing to state to achieve, to have achieved.
So
that is to be celebrated. And you could sell yourself on that platform. But the problem is when you're convincing people that that's not what's happening. And then that is that, you know, that's misleading. I say fruitarian for myself, because that's the most accurate way to describe me. Now, the last time I haven't had water in months now. It's just been fruit. I haven't had vegetables in months now. The last time I had some vegetables, it was in like a fruit bowl, but like, you know, it was if that doesn't make me a fruitarian, then, and if that's a problem, I don't know, you know, I don't know what to do. Right.
Yeah.
But I would be dishonest if I said I have been eating 100% fruit for this entire time. That would be technically a lie, but I can't, it would be a lie, because that's not what happened. But I would also be lying if I told you, oh, I'm a raw vegan, right? Or I'm a raw. That would also give you the wrong impression, because I eat fruit pretty much exclusively almost all the time throughout the year. So, you know, you also have to,
people need to realize this as well. There's a hierarchy. And one thing I love about you, Eli, is that you touch on these subjects like the laws, right? There's a hierarchy to this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, people like these breatharian gurus, they have made it to where it's elitist, right? And it's, you should be embarrassed if you have one meal a day, right? You're a failure and a fake because you should be able to be spiritually in tune enough to reverse all that and survive off the nectar of mucus or whatever. You know what I mean? You should be able to what do they call it? What they used to call it? This Indian stuff.
Yes.
This nectar that used to come from your nose.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I can't remember what it is. Something.
But you're supposed to be able to produce that if you were up there. You know what I mean? With the spiritual gods, you know what I mean? you were supposed to be able to do that. Now, these breatharians have kind of raised the goalposts. They've kind of moved the goalposts to where all this is very elitist and it's very unrealistic. Listen, if you just did one meal a day, man, I would salute you. I would salute you, man, because that's incredible.
Yeah.
But people have got into this rut now where it's like they feel they need to be floating on the air, you know, levitating. They feel like they should be levitating. Oh, can't you levitate yet?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, you've been breath-bearing for 2 days. Can't you levitate yet? And it's like, no. And you feel like such a fake. feel like such a letdown. But that's what it's come to. That's what it's come to. And there's what people don't understand is there's a hierarchy to this. You talk about the veggies. You talk about the raw vegan, right? Okay, raw vegans, right? They're like the regular folks in regards to what we term as SAD, standard American diet type people, right? That eat cooked food. The raw vegans are that alternative in the raw community, right?
Yeah.
They're the beginners, right? They're the beginners. And we need those people. There's nothing wrong. Sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, when I see Gillian Berry stuff, man, I wish I was raw vegan. I wish I could eat all that stuff, right? Because that stuff is just, wow, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, she's awesome. But I'm just not that dude, right? I've tried. I'm not that dude, right? You have the raw vegan, which is in the hierarchy of it all, in terms of the laws, the natural laws. You have the raw vegans who are the beginners. You have the fruitarians who are the intermediates. And this is going to shock everybody. You have the liquidarians, right?
Yeah.
After the liquidarians, really and truly, there is nothing else. You've got fasting. You've got periods of fasting where you come full circle and you go back to either raw vegan, or you go back to liquidarian, or you go back to fruitarian, if not all of them. Because we, and I always have to go back to the times when I used to do, when I did the two attempts at the Three Peaks, and I did both of them. I completed both of them. But it showed me you've got to go full circle.
Yeah.
You cannot just do the whole breatharian thing and expect it to work, because you're going to run out of juice. And I ran out of juice way before the first one. I ran out of juice. Right?
Yeah.
These guys, these breatharian gurus, filled my head up with the idea that, oh, I could just tap into the ether. I could just tap into the atmosphere. I actually believe there's an element of that in our engineering, but it's nothing near what we think it is. In fact, it's so primitive, it's almost caveman-like, where we didn't have cars, we didn't have organized sport, to where we were sprinting, breaking world records, running as fast as cheetahs and all that stuff, right? We didn't do that because we knew, why are you doing that? Why are you wearing yourself out even before you can catch an antelope? You know what I mean? Why are you even doing that? All we got to do is pick a fruit off a tree. Why are you sprinting? We didn't have to do that stuff. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? Yeah, right? There's no need for that mentality of breaking records because I want a gold piece of metal, right? Or I want a million bucks because, yeah, if I win this, I'm gonna be number one. Back in the days when we're trying to get back to, they didn't give a crap about it. It was survival, man. It's feast and famine. Feast and famine. There's days where you find a tree with full of oranges and you have to fight somebody for three oranges that are left on the tree, right? Then you might not find another tree for a week. Then you got to go a week. Again, ketosis, fat adaptation. That's where I believe it's at. And that's a vital part of our progression, is understanding what ketosis is and fat adaptation, because that is what breatharian is. And people don't get it. Even the cook food people know that. Even the cook food, I always say about cook food people, these guys have no idea how on it they are. They're so far, but yet so close. You know what I mean? Because the information that they have about it all now wasn't around when I was a fruitarian. So we had no idea why we could go without food for 7 days. We just spiritualized it. Or we just listened to Jaz Mahim, right? We just listened to the negative fruitarians or the raw vegans say, oh, but that's bullshit. No, you can never do that. You'll be dead after 3 days. So when we went past 3 days, we thought we were Superman. Right. We thought we were Black Panther. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was it. We thought we was the shit after that. We thought no one could touch us after that. Oh, yeah, we're breatharians. We should be dead. And we were walking around saying, oh, yeah, we should be dead. It's been past 3 days. Right?
Yeah.
And that's how this whole thing has kind of got out of hand. You know an organic apple, right? Have you ever seen an organic apple?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you know what an organic apple looks like. It's beat up. It's the most unglamorous thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
And people look at it and say, is that it? Right? Compared to a store-bought apple, right? That's shiny, glistening, waxed, not a bruise on it, nothing, right? Now, this organic apple is fruitarianism. This organic apple is liquidarianism, right? This organic apple is raw veganism. That's what it represents.
That's interesting.
It's not as glamorous, and it's not as, I would even go as far to say it's not as powerful as we would like to portray, because the lives that we live now are very much increased, concentrated. That's why everyone's burnt out. That's why everyone's got mental health issues, because we're doing way too much. And I mean, on a colossal scale. I can't even stress how too much we're doing as humans. We're doing too much, man. And, you know, a lot of these cooked and processed foods, they might as well be steroids. They might as well be performance-enhancing drugs, man.
Yes.
They might as well be. That's how all these people can lift all these weights, run all these sprints, break all these records. You know what I mean? That's how these, that's the only way these people can get through life is by taking processed foods that I would generally call steroids, right? You got growth hormone in the meat. So when you eat meat, by default, you're on steroids. You have all these debates on YouTube about, is this bodybuilder natty? Is he eating meat? Yeah, he's not natty then. He's on steroids as a mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hormones, 24/7.
Yeah.
Hormones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you take that away and then you see how much of a person you are, how much less of a person that you are. You take that away. But that's not a bad thing. It's just that you've got to adjust, man. You've got to adjust your site. You've got to adjust everything. And then you have these breatharians trying to put it out there that you're on that that you're way past that level of the cooked food person on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
When actually you're not. The reality is you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. And I have to... When I train, when I go in the gym, and I'm a bit of a beast, right? I'm a bit like you. Well, I'm trying to catch up to you, actually. But when I go in the gym, I'm a bit of a beast. I'm a bit of a beast, and I'm that hothead. I'm that hothead. I'm that aggressive asshole, right? And I can only do 15 minutes of strength work.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes, and my body says, we're done.
Yeah.
And I've got to be obedient. So I've got to live by the laws, right? So I've got to be obedient, right? And even in that 15 minutes, I'm having to sacrifice stuff during the day that I don't do so I can participate in that 15 minutes of giving it all I got.
Yeah.
So you got choices that you got to make. So fruitarianism, liquidarianism, and I would even say raw veganism, you've got limitations and laws that you've got to, rules. I always tell my wife, you've got to live by the rules.
Yeah.
You know, if she messes up or she throws a tantrum and it's like, what have you been doing? Well, you did too much. Woman, you've got to live by the rules. You know what I mean? Were you obedient?
That's it.
With your body.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know,
Regardless
of how you slice it, you are still... You're still living in the world, and as much as your mental and spiritual development, it can do things that push and stretch those boundaries. Absolutely, okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
However, you are pushing the boundaries while your consciousness is still affixed to a physical body, and we are always going to be limited in that sense because. If we want to interact with this world, we have to have our infinite energies slowed down. And in the slowing down process of these energies, when they become physicalized, they come under the subjugation or the subjugation of laws that apply here. And they can be very difficult to extricate yourself from. And you've said some really important things. And yeah. People might be shocked to hear that after the liquidarian phase, then what happens is just a fast. But what makes the difference is how well your body has been able to adapt and deal with the fasted state. That can be much, much, much longer, or it can be much shorter. And this is so important because there's something else that I wanted to mention earlier. That was curious about when these breatharians have been actually tested and put under scrutiny is that there is weight loss.
Okay? Exactly. It's detox and it's weight loss.
Yeah.
And then they start singing nursery rhymes.
Yeah. Right?
It's true. They go crazy.
They go crazy. And here's the interesting thing. Now, let's just take me for example, because you know, I tend to make a good example in this case, where my body weight is like, it's just stable. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the same type of fruit eating that I did in my first year. However, in my first year of doing it, oh, the weight was just flew off. And then it was like kind of like slowly trickling. Oh, sorry, this way. Slowly trickling downward, refining, you know, it was just balancing itself out. Okay. But I'm doing the same diet. So even now less, I even do a bit less, like actually a lot less now, but my weight is like, it's like stable. My body seems to have come to a homeostasis. Okay.
Yeah.
Even if I do a juice cleanse for the next week, or even if I fast for the next like 5 days or something, and then I start eating again, my weight, like it's just back to where it is right now. Yeah. Now, it's interesting what you would imagine if the laws that govern reality are as they are. What you would imagine is if someone has gotten to a place where they have maintained homeostasis on breath, then you would imagine that the body would just be the same thing, plateaued at that one spot. Yeah. But if weight is coming off dramatically in a week of scrutiny of not eating, then it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that obviously the body isn't at a place of homeostasis. Right?
Exactly. They haven't been doing what they say they have.
Okay.
And the stress coupled with the fact that they haven't been doing what they say they've been doing, mm-hmm. that's what happens. And it's mostly actually them not doing what they say they've been doing and getting called out. And they, when they got called out, it was ego got involved. Oh yeah, you want to call me out? Well yeah, I'll do that. Then I'll do that for 7 days. Yeah, just tell me where to be and I'll be there. But they didn't think about actually doing it. They didn't think about the detox. They didn't think that they underestimated the detox. They underestimated the level of stress they were going to be under having some a-hole with folded arms and a uniform watching every move they make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The Gestapo uniform watching every move they make. Yeah. They don't take that into consideration. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. There was another one with Trilajani. There was another one where they were apparently the people that were monitoring him were in cahoots and they would allow him to do certain things while he was bathing. There's those rumors about him, but there was something that was more solid because they actually busted the doctor that was doing it, doing the monitoring. Yeah, yeah. All those things. Yeah. And I used to wonder, why is there always controversy surrounding these tests? Why is there never a concrete test?
Right.
You know what I mean? I never used to agree with tests because to test if someone's breatharian, shall we say, right, you'd have to test them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's just pointless, the whole testing thing.
Let me add something here. I think because this is going to be helpful. Now, when we've got the concept of breatharianism, right? And in your experience, you directly experienced this, where you just could not. Last, you couldn't sustain yourself heading up that mountain like the other people that were eating fruit, right? And you felt it because you were just depleted in your experience. Yeah. Now, what maybe we can work out here is there a way? Okay. So is there a type of homeostatic state, homeostasis, where you could actually go for months and months and months and months and years on end without actually eating? Because I don't know what to make of it, but there seem to have been people that can do that. But there's one guy that I saw doing it apparently, but he was in a complete trance, like a complete meditative state, permanent.
Exactly.
Okay.
To me,
not moving, not making use of the physical body. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a detachment. It seemed a detachment from the physical and an existence in the world up here to the neglect of the physical body. And it seems that if we want to make use of the body in the way that collectively we've determined is healthy and good and makes good use of life, all right? Mm-hmm. Doing all the wonderful things that human bodies are able to do, because that is our gift. That is the gift from creation, is this duality, this world of duality, where we're given a physical body so that we can make sense of an experience in particular, and not just oneness of everything. So we need these physical bodies and able to do that. So it seems that if we're doing the actual New Age concept of breatharianism, right, then the sacrifice would be everything that you take enjoyment of in the physical reality. So you'd have to, you would be whittled down to the bone and be just in a meditative state where your physical body has diminished its requirements so much that you can't even move. And you could conceivably do it in that sense. But if you wanted to, let's say, make use of your physical body like I do and like you do, then what happens is not breatharianism, but simply a protracted fasted state that you're really damn good at. But you need a little bit of stimulation to maintain yourself if you want to live like myself and yourself, where we're being active, we're going out, we're doing things, we're working out. We can display, you know, make strength displays. We can go hiking if we want, all that stuff. Okay.
Yeah. So
maybe that's the compromise.
No, that's exactly it, right? And I've got something else for your mind, right? Because it's something I've been thinking about as well. The whole breatharian thing, right? We shouldn't even be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's not food related.
Yeah.
To me, what they're talking about is exactly what you just said, is those mystics, is those guys in Tibet that are doing something completely different. Yeah. Why are we bringing it to food and putting pressure on ourselves to be one of these mystics? We're nowhere near that shit.
Yeah.
Why the hell are we even talking about breatharianism? Mm-hmm. Even when you listen to breatharians talk, they're talking about them mofos in Tibet.
Yeah.
Just sat there for 20 years.
Yeah. Absolutely.
As you said, down to the bone, they ain't got an ounce of muscle on them.
Yeah.
When I was doing the mountains, right? When I was doing the mountains, the only way I could do it is if I went really slow. And I was fine. But they were just rushing me because of various reasons. But if I did it really slowly, I was actually okay.
Then you're okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how I knew that I have a hunch that we kind of maybe do tap into the air and chemically and all this stuff, but it's not to the mechanics that we think it is. It's not like turbocharged and just give me 10 minutes and I'm going to be running up that mountain. You know what I mean? Nowhere near that. It's if we have to draw back. Exactly. And exactly what you said. You draw back. Mm-hmm. Just like these Tibetans, you draw back, and then you find how much energy that you kind of recuperate and you're able to actually have if you just keep drawing back. Mm-hmm. Instead of going at 100 miles an hour, you go at 20.
And you have to do that, it seems, because you're not climbing the mountain with your energy body. You're not climbing the mountain with your astral body. You're climbing the mountain with your physical body.
With your physical.
Physical body, right?
That's why you're screwed.
Yeah. So it would make sense that you would have to feed your physical body. And when I say feed, I mean in any way, in whatever way, liquids, fruits, vegetables, whatever way, in order to make use of the physical world with that physical body in the way that we all come to understand is good. But if
that's why you eat fruits, that's why you eat fruits, because you want to do the whole physical thing.
Yes.
We're not Tibetans, man. We're not. Most of us, when we do the whole fruitarian or raw vegan thing, we are not trained in being monks, Tibetan monks, and doing all that, sitting, being buried underground and in a tree or stuff like that, or wrapped up in bondage and like a mummy and being alive 100 years later. We're not those guys.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even be putting them in the same section as fruitarians. Yeah. Because look at the damage it's causing on people, on these young mother, on these young people,
yeah.
Right? trying to emulate that and trying to be that. And when they can't be that, they're going into depression. They're going in, they're emailing me and saying, what the hell's going on? You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, because you're listening to that asshole. Yeah. You're listening to that asshole.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Talking about, 19, 20 years. No, he hasn't even done that shit. You know what I mean? He hasn't even done that shit. He just made you believe that so he can get notoriety and get asked to Italy and get asked to America and get asked to all these places for doing interviews, India, and be a celebrity. Because I think he's probably a celebrity in India by the looks of it. All his interviews are from Indian people and they love him.
Mm-hmm.
They're lifting him up like he's some kind of Tutankhamun or something. I don't know. But you know what I mean? He's just the king now. So it's like, damn.
Yeah.
But what for? What is it all worth? What does it all mean?
Yeah.
What do you really get out of it? Because you can't do the thing. You can't practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it all worth at the end of the day? Is it just fame? Is it just notoriety? Yeah. Is it just to be invited places? Yeah. Is your life that shallow that you just need to be out there like that?
Yeah.
Because you're not really helping people. Because we are not those monks. We are not those Tibetan monks.
Mm-hmm.
We should not even be talking about breatharianism. It should be raw vegan, fruitarian, and liquidarianism all in one bunch. Mm-hmm. People should recognize the hierarchy. People mm-hmm. should recognize the density the liquidarian is, man. You're going to struggle.
Yeah.
If you want to be liquidarian, you're going to struggle because that is the shiznit right there. You know what I mean? That's the least dense, right? If we're talking about matter, that's the least dense. I don't believe we should be talking about breatharianism because it's something else. It's something else altogether.
Yeah.
You have fruitarianism, right? You're going to struggle with that, but at least you have a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
You stuff yourself. At least you have a buffer, you know, but it's still, the body doesn't want waste in it. The body doesn't want liquid in it. The body just does not want decomposed matter stored inside it, not even water. That's why when you have fruit juice, the water doesn't stay inside you. The water just is absorbed into your muscles and everything. It's frigging brilliant. When you drink external tap water, that thing sits on your stomach and bloats you up like a biatch, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to be careful with that, right? Now you have the raw vegan, they're the beginners. They're the guys that stuff themselves up. They're the guys that say, oh, I don't understand. They're the guys that tell the fruitarians, oh, I don't understand what this detox thing is about because I've never had a detox. They don't have detoxes because they stuff themselves silly, right? Mm. And there's nothing wrong in that because you need to do that in the beginning. That's why raw veganism is so powerful. Raw veganism is freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. I would love to sit down with someone and just chow down on raw vegan shit because that is brilliant, man. Mm-hmm. But I know, I know that would mess me up. But still, the whole concept of it, oh, man, I love it. I love watching Julian Berry stuff, man. Yes. She's tossing up them salads and making that stuff. It's like, wow, woman, damn, right? So it's like, but they have a buffer, and those within that community, they have to be really careful because we all need each other. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be messing around with the fruitarians and cursing them out because they need that. We all need each other. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? We all need each other, man, because, you know, raw vegans, and I know a lot of them are closed-minded because people want to eat at the end of the day. And not everybody wants to be a spiritual guru. Some people are just happy just to chow down, man. And that's why a lot of times I wish I was like that, but I'm not. But I'm not. And I have to bear the cross that I have to bear. And I have to adjust to that. And that's why we need raw vegans, because we need we need the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We need the opposite. Otherwise, it will drive you crazy, man. We need the fruitarians. The fruitarians need the raw vegans, and the raw vegans, believe it or not, need the fruitarians because the raw vegans need people to aspire to,
mm-hmm.
right? The fruitarians come in all shapes and sizes and all kinds of strict, not strict. So we all need each other. And yeah, fruitarians are smack dab in the middle, even though a lot of fruitarians like to think that they're the upper echelon. They're not. You know what I mean? They're not. They're absolutely not. There's a hierarchy. They're in the middle. And that's fine. But it's like we need to have this realistic view on what we're doing here, right? Yeah. Liquidarian people, we need, that's more like us, right? Like me and you. We're kind of the liquidarian stroke, go around the corner on the way back to fruitarianism, right? Going full circle. So we're more along the lines of the liquidarian that probably doesn't have that much liquids, that probably has only a certain amount of liquids every day. And we've trained ourselves to do that, and we've adapted and gone through our detox. As fruitarians, we like to think of these, oh, I'm just going to have one fruit a day. But a lot of times, we haven't done the detox to get to that level.
Yeah.
You've got to do the detox to get to that level. Just because you've gone through one detox don't mean to say you've done the detox to get to that level. No, there's many detoxes. When you have the detox to get to that one piece of fruit a day thing, oh, that's suffering. Yeah. That's when your body's like, hey, a joke's a joke now, stop this shit, right? Right? But there's many detoxes along the road, and that's how you get through fruitarianism, the various levels of fruitarianism, and you're able to reduce. Then you get to liquidarianism, and you're able to reduce from there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And even sometimes, because I literally, whenever I've done this, I've been liquidarian. Mm-hmm. Even though as much as I'd like to say, oh, I'm fruitarian, I don't eat fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I literally either juice or I hand juice everything.
Yeah.
Right? That's just what I prefer. That's just what I've gravitated to. And I love it.
Yeah.
Right? Again, it's just like cut out the middleman for me. But to get there has been help. To get to that stage, even though it's my preferred function, it's been hell on earth.
Mm.
Mm. Right? There's hardly any good days out of this. I told the wife, you've got to live in hell and just find a way to enjoy it. Put up some nice pictures, put in some nice furniture, get a nice car. Because that's your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's for me personally. That's my take on it. I remember when I was a fruitarian, I used to think, oh, this is okay, this is nice, I've got energy, blah, blah, blah. But when you're constantly moving, yeah, there's generally, you've got to make it happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally, it's a long time to flush out stuff. It's a long time to dig out stuff. It's a long time to get over the past habits.
Mm.
To get through the past habits, because they always come back, they always reappear, and you got to make decisions, right? You go for your, you know, I don't like to call it cheating. If you want a pizza to me, and you're not proclaiming to be some 100% do that shit.
Yeah.
Do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's on its way out anyway. That's how I look at it. It's on its way out anyway. As long as you do it organized, as long as you do it consciously, as long as you're reducing, as long as you're not doing it on full pizzas and this, that, and the other, and the usual suspects, you know what I mean? As long as you're reducing it to one slice or half a slice, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or no more. When we were transitioning, I would say to the wife, right, when we sedate, we don't do more than 500 mls or 250 mls. So we'd always do portion control. Whenever we do the cook food thing, right? So we were never really kind of overdoing it and getting crazy binges and stuff like that. It was always organized, right? That way you kind of can get a grip on things, and that way things can phase itself out easier without you really having to put that much effort into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just things like that. We all need each other, and you know, liquidarianism is actually the upper echelon, and it's where you've really got to be mindful, but you've really got to earn that right to be there, like big time. And this is what a lot of people get mixed up. A lot of people try and jump in straight out the gate and they get their asses kicked and they're resentful from there on in, and they just keep trying to beat a dead horse and headbutting the wall and all that short stuff. No, you've got to really earn it over time. I was doing fruitarianism for about a decade before I even got into liquidarianism.
That's it.
You know what I mean? And that was a decade of fruitarianism was like a decade of hell, man. You didn't know whether you were coming or going. Nobody taught you nothing. And it was gurus talking about, oh, it's such bliss. It wasn't bliss. It was fucking awful. Right? It was awful, man.
Yeah.
And it was hell on earth because you had to clear out, you had to clean out, you had to clear out your mind, clear out your head, try and make sense of all the habits coming back. And why is this coming back? Because they didn't tell me it was going to, they just told me it was going to be plain sailing from here after 21 days, right? It'll be plain sailing. It's just things like that. Misinformation, things like that. People proclaim, you know, get all these fruitarian bodybuilders, right?
Yeah.
All these hippies, black or white, right? None of them wear fucking shirts,
yeah,
right? And they all want to wear, and they all want to wear sandals and shorts, right? Run about the place, right? Right.
Yeah.
And I've got to say this, right? And they call themselves fruitarian bodybuilders, and they look nothing like bodybuilders. And I think we need to be more realistic if we're going to go there, especially as men, because women don't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But especially as men. And them damn hippies, they fuck up the game something shocking, right? They really do. Them skinny-ass hippies, man, they need to get out of that shit. Because when you're trying to sell this fruitarian game on the whole fitness angle, right? These little scrawny ass hippies flexing their veins. That's all they're doing, is flexing their veins. That's all they got is veins, right? Because they ain't got no fat. So all they got is veins sticking out, and that's all they're flexing. They need to stop it. And that's black or white. You know what I mean? We need to get more realistic about that, the whole bodybuilding thing. Because we ain't got shit to build, because we ain't living that life.
Yes.
Yeah. We ain't living that life. I'm in the gym now doing my strength work, and I've got to admit, I have to look at these guys in awe, because it's like, okay, normally I would be the best looking guy in the gym, right? Mm-hmm. Now I have to be the less.
Yeah.
I have to live life with the nerds now, right?
Yes.
So it's like, okay, I have to, but I know in a month's time, oh, I'm going to be up there,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have the physique where people are going to say, how did he do that?
Yes.
Oh, that's different. That's actually beautiful. I'm not going to be that brawny, bulky dude with the gut, but I got a big chest. You know what I mean? And big shoulders. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy that looks like he just stepped out of a magazine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have a Hugo Boss magazine or some shit like
Absolutely.
That. Because that's how we are. Mm-hmm. You've got a beautiful physique, and that's how we are. When we talk about fruitarian fitness and the body, we're not going to be the same as the bodybuilders that we see on YouTube or those, because everyone's taking drugs anyway now, right?
Yeah.
Let's face it. So we're not going to be that. So we need to, as a community, we need to have a whole revamp. We need to have a whole better realistic view on what the hell we're doing and what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff that are in people's heads, they're never going to achieve that in 6 lifetimes, right? Because it's off of someone else's fake story.
Yeah.
Right? Because they wanted notoriety. Exactly. They wanted to be famous. Right?
It's almost as if in order to get to that idealized form of what we imagine the breatharian movement is, you would need a different body. It's all, you would need like a light body. Like, so we would need to evolve, okay, in 1,000 years to actually have our physical bodies change in a way that would allow us to live like they imagine it is.
Eli, I can't tell you how many times people ask me if I could walk through walls or if I could levitate, if I could float through a building,
mm-hmm.
If I had to go to the toilet ever. It's all this crap, because that's what Again, mm-hmm. that's mixed up with that Tibetan monk shit. That's yeah. not us, man.
Yeah, but that's not us.
We yeah. really, yeah, yeah we really don't need to be thinking about that because that yeah. is not us. That's yeah. a separate thing. You know yeah. what you do? You do that shit alongside liquidarianism, alongside fruitarianism, alongside raw veganism. You don't, this is nothing to do with food. I never understood why the whole breatharian, because if you listen to the breatharian mantra, if you listen to all these people, what they're talking about the Tibetan monk stuff. They're talking about the Indian, the Indians that would sit on a mountaintop, on a drop of Mountain Dew, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, that is what they're talking about. That is so separate from what this is. Yes. We're talking about diet. We're talking about nutrition. That's something different. We yeah. shouldn't even be entertaining that. That shouldn't even be in the mix. Breatharianism is the Kim Kardashian of this movement because it's so unrealistic. And then you find out it was all plastic surgery and it wasn't real in the first place.
Yes.
It's just we shouldn't even be entertaining this. But yet everybody ran to it and followed and wanted a big booty. Now mm-hmm. everyone's in the gym doing booty work. You know what I mean?
And it's funny because we want to live like those Tibetan monks, you know, like these ascended masters, like these adepts, right? The thing yeah. is, we want to actually do the things they do, but when push comes to shove, nobody actually wants to live in the way they actually live or go exactly. through the process, because everybody wants to live with their social lives, with their families, with the activities and whatnot. But then we say we want to do the things that the Tibetans are doing. Well, in order to do the things that they're doing, you have to give up your life as it is right now. And if we're not willing to make that sacrifice, then it seems that we shouldn't be going and shooting for what they're doing if we're not willing to make the same sacrifices. I know right now I'm not willing to make that sacrifice and, you know, give up everything, literally live on the mountain, dedicate half the day to altered states of consciousness, doing like, because that's what it would take.
And you know, it would take far more than that as well.
Far more than that.
The level of level of commitment and all that stuff. Man. Yeah. Yeah.
Far more than that. Yes, of course. I'm just generalizing, right? Yeah. Just so people understand.
Oh, yeah.
So it seems the problem. So it seems that the problem is, and again, it's always the simplest thing. It's the problem that we've run into in this discussion so far in identifying what the issues are with the breatharian thing. It's the same as always. It's a problem of having unclear definitions, which has always yeah. been the problem with language, is having unclear definitions. If A is equal to B, then it means there's going to be confusion because sometimes yeah. A can be A. Or sometimes A can be B. Where that mark is, where that delineation is, who knows? It's up for debate, right? Yeah. So we need yeah. precise definitions. Otherwise, we will be led to confusion. And so...
You know what it is, Eli?
Yeah.
And it's why you're so special. And I told you before, you're vital to this community because you're not that A person. You're not that... Just because you can do it, you're not the guy that says, right, this is how you must do it, exactly like me, because I can do it, therefore... This is the way you're supposed to be, right? Exactly. I'm not like that either.
Yeah.
And that's what the community needs. The community does not need people that say, right, I can do it, therefore you can do it. Because yeah. the problem is, Eli, not everybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not everybody can do it in the time frame as everybody else.
Yeah.
Some people take longer.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you get the mismatch oftentimes, mm-hmm. right? The loose definitions, because the weaker ones have their own opinion. The stronger ones definitely have their opinion, and they're definitely not going to be the same.
Yeah.
It's all going to be relative. So I think that's where that stuff comes from.
Right.
And I don't think that's ever going to be changed or be improved. Weak people are weak people, man, and they're going to think what they think, and strong people are the same. They're going to think what they think. They're going to be like, what the fuck are you waiting for? Come on. You know what I mean? They're not going to understand this person. It's like my wife, right?
Yeah.
She's not me. And I really have to dig deep to understand that. And that's another journey in itself. When you're trying to bring someone else into the fold, with all their resistance, with all their human shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And deal with that. And you have to deal with two times people.
Right.
But that's, to me, that's just how good I am. That just shows how good I am, that I've been blessed enough to be able to be given that responsibility, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So, and it's amazing. And that's why people like yourself are just so important, because it, again, like you, yourself, myself, what we're doing is we're helping to create a spectrum, right? We're helping to create context in the world, right? That's what we're doing.
That's actually doable.
That's none actually of this
pie in the sky stuff.
Yes.
Again, we should not be talking about referendum.
Yeah.
We should be scrapping that. We should not be talking about breatharianism. At best, we should be including fasting, feast, famine. That's what we should be talking about. Feast, famine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We should be talking about how we would do it in our ancestors, which is find a tree, might wait a week before you find another tree. Feast, famine.
Yeah.
That's as far as I think it should go. We should never be talking about breatharianism.
Right. Because so far what we've seen in the main from people that claim to have achieved this you know heightened state, what we've seen is simply something else, like we've gotten into, mm-hmm. where we can call it maybe something other than breatharianism, because it's not actually breatharianism if the reality that we observe is true. So maybe it would be something like adapted fasting. Or adaptive fasting, where the body has cultivated, has whittled down a lot of the junk has been eliminated from the system. A lot of the channels have been cleaned out. There's a better auric field. The energy is just flowing much more efficiently through the system and allows them to be more self-sustained for protracted periods of time. So maybe what we want to be calling breatharianism now. Maybe it's that. Maybe we need, it's like, it's adapted fasting, something like that, something along those lines. Because let me tell you, you know, when I was a couple of years ago, I'm shooting a movie. I decided that I was just going to fast. I was going to dry fast just during the shooting. First day, second day, third day, fourth day goes by. It's on the fourth day. I've had no food, no water. I'm taking breaks by doing handstand pushups. Just because I wanted to, because I had a lot of energy and I felt good. It felt right. And I'm feeling fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, if this was several years ago and I didn't know any better, I might say, hey, I'm a breatharian right now. Right. But
I'm Jesus.
Yeah. You know, and it does. It feels like it felt like, what's happening to me? Like
I know I've been
It's incredible. Yeah. Right. But. I didn't keep doing that until now. Obviously, you know, I needed to refeed myself. I did the same dry fast that you know, the guy that we were talking about who had been interviewed on the Italian television station. You know, I go and do the exact same thing. But then I was like, okay, this is great. I mean, that wasn't that bad. But I'm not a breatharian though. So so it's like, what do I make of this? So it's this problem of definition. What we've been sold as breatharianism from this new age community, right? Which again has a lot of truth, but then there are poison pills inserted into that truth that we have to have a level of discernment to be able to pick out. So what we've been sold is something that we just don't have a definition for yet. Okay. Whatever. I don't know what that definition is. That's something that we can come to a agreement on at some point, but something like adapted fasting, whatever it is.
I don't personally, I feel as long as we stop talking about the breatharian, because it's not even breatharian.
Even the
definition of breatharian is not breatharian. It's not what the Tibetan monks are doing. Breatharianism doesn't even cover that.
True.
So this whole breatharian thing is strictly new age bullcrap. Because even the breatharians, like the guy I was talking about, he's nowhere near Tibetan monk. Mm-hmm. So he's like a budget. He's like a budget Tibetan monk. You know what I mean? He comes nowhere near that shit. He comes nowhere near that standard. We shouldn't even be entertaining this. But what I do agree with you is that, yeah, you could do the whole world vegan, fruitarian. I think all the terms need redefining. If we could just somehow make it one to cover all four, right, all four definitions, because world vegan is so important. Fruitarianism is the next level. Liquidarianism is the level after that. And sustained fasting. You know what I mean? Temporary fasting. And I would love to see people go full circle and go back to world veganism and just keep going through the rotation.
To me,
that is the ideal, because you're only going to be able to fast for so long before you start to the whole, what they call it, diminished returns, right? Mm-hmm. The point of diminished returns, where things start to backfire.
Yes.
Even the cooked food people know that, right? You have to understand the whole ketosis thing and the whole fat adaptation thing, and understand that you've only got a certain amount of time. You might go past a point that you feel is like, wow, I never thought I'd be able to do this. Now I must be vegetarian, right? But that's how long it takes to dig into your resources. You're still going to detox. You're still going to feel like, oh, man, 20 days, you know, I've not had any. So don't be fooled into believing that you're this vegetarian because you're doing the same as this guy on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Because you're only going to last for a certain amount of time before you're going to.
And it just sets, go back
to the plant-based.
It sets up all this new ground for confusion. I mean, I've had, I'll let you finish in just a second there. But I've had people, it's so funny. I've had people come to me just merely plant-based living. Okay. Either, you know, cook plant-based diets or even like mostly raw. Okay. And I've had people come, you know, from making a transition to just a whatever goes to a mostly raw with some cooked. And then, you know, they're dropping stuff on me like my third eye open. I'm having, you know, premonitions from the beyond. I've had people tell me, you know, I started glimpsing, you know, I can now read the Akashic records. And I'm like, I'm sorry to say, this is probably not what's happening. You're just experiencing.
And that's your starting, shit.
Starting to have your channels of illumination unclutter a little bit, and that feels good because it has a little. You get a little bit of more mental clarity.
Yeah,
but, you know, in terms of your third eye awakened.
Yeah,
I don't. Can you imagine the masters who actually have done the 20 years that's required in order to do that? And then they hear this millennial say, like,
"Some 2 day, some 2 day go vegan
after, you know, a week of eating kind of raw vegan." It's like,
oh. Yeah. Really? After 2 days of drinking kombucha, my third eye
is open. This is what the new age does to us. It just
exactly.
It's us into believing that we can get to a very lofty place by doing the nothing, but the bare minimum.
Yeah.
No training, and you know your non-physical bodies are like your physical. If you want them to be strengthened, they need work. They need work. Yeah. And that work is not easy, right? It's like, what bodybuilder became a bodybuilder after a week of weight training? That's never happened.
Exactly.
Never happened. And your physical powers require the same dedication and same work if you want to get there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I always tell my wife that, regarding our gym work, is that we're doing exactly the same as the top bodybuilders, just backwards. We're doing their show day every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing their peak week every week, where they cut back on the carbs. They literally don't eat anything for a week. They don't eat anything on show day.
Mm-hmm.
I told her, we're doing it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these people on YouTube and they're nearly dropping down dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but we do that every day. And it's like, you know what I mean, Eli? That's what you have to understand. Yeah. And you have to understand on a daily basis, putting in months of work on that, where you're going to be. And you have to have extremely realistic perspective on this. You cannot be fooled by going off in a different direction, believing you're doing something way more loftier. Just like you said, you need to go and be going in the right direction, because anything other than that is failure. You're going to mess up and you're going to, it's a banana skin. So that is important in itself, is making sure that you're going in the right direction, that you're not fooled by these so-called fake-ass Tibetan monks. You know what I mean? That you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and I've not eaten for 19 years. Bullshit. You know, I never even used to let people that interviewed me say that about me, and they wanted to, and I never used to let them, because I never wanted to be associated with that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I never, but these people are perfectly happy to have that and not be truthful. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, man, this is such a precious thing, and this is a lifetime work. This is a lifetime commitment, and it's deeper than anybody can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. If you really get into it and if you really support yourself with it, especially if you're doing it with your partner, if you're doing it with your loved one or whatever, whoever it is. You're doing it with someone that's close to you, man. It's life changing, and I don't think people really understand how life changing it is. It's not something that you just try and you might do it or you might not, and if you don't do it, you just drop it. No, this will change you're changing your DNA to the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
To the dawn of time, you're literally going back in time, and people just are not looking at that. They're not looking at that. And like you said earlier, but we still have to be a part of this life. You know what I mean? We still have to walk, do this retiring thing, and then walk around in chemtrails, walk around in EMF, right? All those things that are going to destroy the body energy field, right?
Yeah.
All that shit, right?
Yeah.
Most people aren't even aware of that. That over the years, the EMFs, the Wi-Fi or the internet that we know and love, and that we use to actually do this interview with, is actually contributing to destroying your body's energy field and disrupting, and can cause some people great illness. You know what I mean? But even the act of going fruitarian and being real consistent with it and really striving can actually help you resist a lot of the EMS. This is all amazing.
Yeah.
All amazing. If you really get into it, man, it's like light bulbs will go off. This thing is amazing, but it's as you said earlier, it's work. It's tremendous work, and nobody either wants to do it, but they love the concept, right? Of levitating, the legs crossed and all that shit, or they just don't want to, just straight up don't want to do the work, but they just love to be around all that environment, right? I don't know, man, but you know. There's this thing about work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's this thing about work, and we kind of need to, as a community, we kind of need to support each other that want to do the liquidarianism, that want to progress through the hierarchy, because it's really important. Because again, we need each other, because it's not wise to just jump from work, right? Physically, because you've got to have that transition. Your body's got to adapt. You've got to go through your detoxes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The detox you're going to get when you're liquidarian is a different detox you're going to get when you're fruitarian. So you better get back to fruitarianism and get used to that first before you step into that the liquidarian arena. You get your ass kicked.
Absolutely.
You get your ass kicked. You need to train up, you know what I mean, first.
Yeah, that's
it. You know, before you start moving, jumping weight classes. Mm-hmm. So we all need each other for that. We all need each other for that, but it's work, and people need to understand. Yeah, it's not about failure. This is a lifetime's work, man. You just keep getting up. You just keep getting up. You pick people's brains that like yourself. You watch videos like this. Mm-hmm. You learn. You commit to researching. You commit to learning. You commit to figuring this out. Yeah. If you're into the whole breath area, I encourage people. And I don't want to say the whole breatharian thing is crap, because it is, but I don't want to be that guy that's like, don't do it, but research it for yourself, right? Because it's not about diet. It's not about even meditating or any shit like that. What they're talking about is they're kind of robbing the concept from this whole Tibetan thing, India, Indians, the sacred masters and stuff like that,
right,
which is nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do. That's my point of view, right? It's nothing to do with us. Yes. So really, we shouldn't even be linking fasting with that level of existence.
Mm-hmm.
We're fasting, which is great enough as it is.
Yeah.
But for me, we shouldn't be spiritualizing the fasting. We're just The cook food people, right, when I was doing the whole breatharian thing, they used to joke and say, oh, well, I was breatharian while I was sleeping. And they'd laugh at me, you know. Oh, yeah, I was breatharian in between breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And that's technically, they're right.
I know, technically, they're right.
Technically, they're right. Yeah. But that's the joke. That's the joke.
Yeah.
Right? So really, do we have to really label everything? Do we really have to label that fasting time in between the famine part?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just up for debate. But, you know, all these people that are into the whole breatharian thing, I encourage them, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it, because you're only going to be able to last for so long. You're going to drive yourself crazy, and it's going to come full circle. You're going to have something at some point. If it's 2 years down the line, don't think you're breatharian, because you ain't. You just went 2 years sucking off your fat.
Your reserves.
You know what I mean? You just got fat adapted, and you was able to make it last that long.
I agree. And we need to really start being realistic with how we approach this whole movement. And I think what we've done here is add some critical, crucial context to the picture, where we can put in some sort of frame, some sort of perspective, the process that we're doing. This is really going to help out the community. And so,
fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you've shared, for this discussion, this important discussion.
Yeah.
And you know, I hope this helps out people who are going to be tuning into this information.
I was actually inspired by your fan base, man. You've got the sweetest fan base, man. Yeah. So I was actually more inspired by your fan base.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we really do need to give them something, you know, help them.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the subscribers on this channel, man, they impress me all the time. It's just fantastic that we're able to reach out to such a good community and very head screwed on, very straight. I'm always so thankful.
But they make me look stupid, because I'm this negative guy talking about people, blah, 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 how shit people are. And then your fan base is like so as it's supposed to be, just wonderful, you know, and supportive. So that makes me look stupid. But anyway.
Nah, never. Impossible. But all right. But guys, yeah, thank you so much. We're going to have to wrap it up here. So if you found this information helpful and you like this video, then make sure to subscribe to the Female in Society. Make sure to subscribe to the channel. Give us a like, give us a thumbs up. And, you know, Genesis on Prayer, anytime you want to chat more, you're always welcome back here whenever new.
I'll take you up on that, bro.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Sure.
Because this is the good work. This is the great work. This is what we're doing. We're all learning off of each other here. So
if your fan base wants a part three, then let's give them a part three.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you guys want to see, or if you have questions, other questions that we haven't addressed in part one and two, then please leave those comments below so that I can take a look at them, so that we can take a look at them. And if there's enough questions that start to accrue that a part three becomes necessary, that's what we'll do. Okay? So you guys have yourselves a great day out there. Peace and love. God bless. Okay? Treat yourselves well. And we will see you next time here on the channel. Okay? Take care, everyone.
Ciao. Bye.
Guys, bye-bye. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect timing too. We got like 1 minute left.